You're good. You can stop that song. Praise God. Thank you for being ready on the fly. Amen. You know, that's the whole thing about being part of a Holy Ghost church. Don't ever think there's a schedule to it, because there will never be a schedule, because that's how the Holy Ghost knows that you're obeying. He says this, this, and this, and you just flow with it. And you think, well, that wasn't the plan. There's a lot of things that aren't going to look like the plan. Because your plan doesn't always line up, and God's ways are higher than your ways. Amen? His plan for your life is better than any plan you could come up with. Praise God? I bet all of you, if I went around, you all had a plan. And God turned it around some way, somehow. Amen? And it's way better to fly with him. Amen? It's way better to fly with him. Amen? To soar with him. Amen? Praise God. Y'all awake this morning? Amen. I'm going to give the offering message this morning, and then I'm going to pass the microphone off to Pastor David. Praise God. And there's no offering scriptures in there, because I go with the Holy Ghost, and this morning the offering message came. Praise God. So if you have your Bibles, you can get your Bibles out and open up to these scriptures. Praise God. I'm not sure. I felt the Lord saying to me this morning, I am not slack. Do you know that the Lord is not slack? Meaning he's not late. He's not behind. He's always right on time. But it also means that he is faithful. And in 2 Peter 3:9, it says that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Now, I know that's talking about people coming to salvation, but he's not slack on any promise. And it also says God is not a man that he should not lie. Amen? Are you awake this morning? Amen. Oh boy, Pastor is awake. Is anybody else awake this morning? Praise God. I know you're all in the glory of God. You're like, I can't. Phew. All right. So God is not slack. And I felt the Lord saying that some people have felt like God is slack in his promise to you. But he is not slack in his promise to you. And he was reminding me of sowing and reaping. And actually, we heard testimonies this morning about sowing and reaping. It is the law of God that as you sow, you shall reap. Amen? Oh, brother. Everybody know, if you sow in your garden, you're going to reap, right? Do you understand? If you don't sow in your garden, you still reap because you get weeds, right? Oh, boy. Okay. So we must sow to reap. So if you want to reap spiritual things, you sow spiritually, right? If you want to reap a harvest from God, you sow into his ground. Amen? Amen. And I know we've heard this scripture many times, but I still want to go back to it because it's the Lord talking about, I want to go here first. In Genesis 26:12, so God is not slack. He will do what he promises. Genesis 26:12. This is talking to Isaac. It says 26:12 and 13. Then Isaac sowed in that land. Now, that land is talking about the land that he was supposed to go into. And you know I'm really great at pronouncing all kinds of words. Isaac dwelt in Gerar. That's where he went. Because the Lord told him not to go back to Egypt. So he sowed in that land, and it says, and reaped in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. But I want you to see something. Isaac was obedient to sow where the Lord told him to go. He didn't go, I feel like I need to go here. This is what I need to do. No, he sowed exactly where he was planted. So that's about your tithe. Your tithe is planted where your church is. Wherever your home church is, you tithe to. But then there's offerings that you give, right? And that brings a harvest too, because God is so good. But you have to do the first things first. And I want you to see, by his obedience to sow where God placed him, he received in the same year a 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold return, because he was obedient. See, a lot of people want to go out there and just throw seed and scatter it, but are you being obedient to where God is telling you to sow? So we have to ask the Lord, where is it that you want me to sow? Your tithe, guess what? It's so great. You don't have to pray about that. You tithe to your home church. That's the word of the Lord. But the offering, you say, well, I don't give offerings. Well, you should be, because God talks about above and beyond. You should be giving an offering. So you need to be obedient to what God is saying. It says the man began to prosper. So as he sowed, he starts prospering. But it didn't just stop. It doesn't say he just began to prosper. It says he continued prospering until he became very prosperous. Praise God. It doesn't just stop at enough. We keep going and adding and adding and adding till we became very prosperous. Amen? Woo, hallelujah. Well, y'all don't have to get excited, but I'm excited about it. Great. In Proverbs 22, 8 through 9, he who sows iniquity will reap sorrow, and the rod of his anger will fail. But he who has a generous eye will be blessed, for he gives of his bread to the poor. We should always be generous. Being generous is blessed. The world tells you, you're going to run out of money. You don't have enough. No, God says, as you're generous, you will be blessed. Because guess what? The world is not your provider. God is your provider. That's why you tithe. When you tithe, you're not tithing because pastor said, well, I have to tithe. You're tithing because, one, the word of God says to tithe. And two, because you say, God, you are my source. So if God is your source, he's provided everything you have need of. Why would you have a problem giving back to him? Amen? Because you're saying, I know you will continue to provide for me. When people come to me and say, my budget just doesn't work out to tithe, I say, well, then your budget's still not going to work out because you're doing it in the arm of the flesh. You must give to God and say, I trust you. I don't trust what these numbers say. And watch what God will do. Come on, somebody, shout. Watch what God will do. Amen? And then when the enemy comes to you and says, you don't have seed for an offering, you say, oh, yes, I do. Because I serve the God of more than enough. And here's the thing. If God lays on your heart to give to something, and you say, that's the number, and it looks impossible, praise God, just go ahead and do it. Because he gives seed to the sower. So as you give that seed, you better be prepared for more to come in because he gives to the seed to the sower. But if you're not sowing, where's your seed coming from? Oh, you got to work overtime. You got to figure it out yourself. But if God tells you, he gives you a number, but if you never ask, you're like, well, I'm just going to get by with the tithe. But you never ask. What else, Lord, do you want me to give to? You know why you do that? Because you think, well, I barely have enough right now. You're not trusting the Lord. He's the God of more than enough. He's the God of overflow. And the enemy wants nothing more for you to just sit down and die. Come on. Because if you just sit down and die, then this doesn't happen and this doesn't happen. God will raise up people. It's no problem. But I'm going to be part of the end time harvest. I don't know about you. But I'm going to be part of the end time harvest. And I'm going to sow into the kingdom. Our tithe takes care of the basics. I get it. And the Lord gave me a vision the other day about a garden. But I'm not quite there yet. Pastor and I were talking about, I feel like I need to draw a picture. I'm going to need the artist and the family here at the kingdom of God to draw my picture of what he was showing me. But that takes care of just the necessities. But see, that offering takes care of the overflow. You start becoming a giver, it's like becoming a soul winner. You start seeing people accept Jesus, you want to go do it. And you want to share more, and you want to share more because you want to see the overflow, the abundance in the kingdom. Well, it's the same of giving offerings. You start seeing things happening. You're like, praise God. Come on, somebody. I'm excited. It's all right. You don't want to give, I'm going to give. Okay, sowing and reaping. No, y'all are giving, church. I know you want to give. What I'm doing is I'm challenging you. Don't be just satisfied where you are. Don't go, that's just enough. Ask the Lord. Here's the thing. You ask the Lord and sometimes he'll go, no, that's good, or whatever. But sometimes he'll say, yes. You know, we heard a testimony this morning. We gave our biggest seed. I'm pretty sure they didn't come up with that seed on their own. I bet they prayed about it and the Lord told them. Then they had to trust the Lord for it because we're trusting God for that. But there's a law called sowing and reaping. And it says in Psalms 107, 37 through 38, and sow fields and plant vineyards, so we're called to sow and plant, that they may yield a fruitful harvest. He also blesses them, and they multiply greatly. You know, every time you study in the Greek, anytime you add these adjectives and adverbs, most of the time you don't do that because the word just means enough. But when you add it on there, it's like, woo, it goes over. Amen? And he did not let their cattle decrease. Well, cattle is your investment. Do you know that? Cattle is your investment. We don't have cattle. Some of you do have cattle because we live in a great area here, so we really do have cattle here. But your cattle did not increase. Cattle is an investment. You don't want your cattle to decrease. So here we go. In Philippians 4, 16 through 19, this is Paul talking. And even in Thessalonica, past, that's right. You sent aid once again for my necessities. We all understand to give our tithe, but I want to talk about partnering this morning quickly. You sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. When you give and you partner with a ministry, fruit abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from, the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice. It's a sacrifice to give above your tithe and offering. That's where the sacrifice, well-pleasing to God, and my God shall supply. Supply means to fill up, meaning you don't need anything else. You're completely full. But there's a preface to that. They gave and they sowed. Do you see? A lot of people just take that scripture and just go, my God shall supply all your needs. No, but it was because of their faithfulness to sow and partner with him that's why he said that. That God, because it's accounted unto their account. It's added onto theirs. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. There is a cause and effect to that. Do you see? As you sow, you will receive. You will reap. Amen. And let's just go back here. So let's just go back here to 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 12. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Even if you sow sparingly, you still reap. I want you to see that. Because that's the law of sowing and reaping. So you're still going to sow. I mean, you're still going to reap, but you're just going to reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. And that word reap is reward. Your reward will be bountiful or it will be sparingly. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm always going for bountifully. How about you? And you're like, well, I just want to get by. That's not God's attitude. God is never about just getting by. He's the God of more than enough. Amen? So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity. There are people that are definitely get offended by giving, but you don't have to because you're giving unto God. You're giving to the Lord. For God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you having all sufficiency. Sufficiency means enough to meet. There is no lack. You will have all that you have need of. In all things may have an abundance, meaning ample, more than enough, for every good work. And I'm going to skip down to verse 11. While you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. See, there's a thanksgiving part. I don't give my tithe and go, well, praise God, I did that. I give my tithe and I go, God, I love you and thank you that you've taken care of everything and you will provide. Do you see the thanksgiving goes to God? The thanksgiving is unto God. And then others start to give thanksgiving unto God because they see what you've done and they see what you reap. And you can go, it's not in me. Listen, there have been times where we've given where we've literally had nothing. And then all of a sudden, Pastor David didn't have to work overtime. You know, all these things that I'm like, there's no way to explain it except God. It's all God. Because people say, well, how do you do that? No, it's all the Lord. It is the Lord. So causes thanksgiving through us to God for the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. So it causes others to be blessed as you give too. Amen? So I'm not saying this to get you to give. I'm saying you need to see the benefit of sowing and reaping. If there's something you're believing for, sow and know that God is going to provide. You know, the Lord told me at the beginning of the year, as I was praying for New Freedom, he said, start thanking me for promotions and raises for your people. And I'm telling you, I see people, I've prayed this with multiple people in this room. I'm believing God for jobs where you work less and make more money. Because see, that's the favor of God, and there's an end time work to be done. And you need to have more money and less time at your job. Come on. And I believe God is doing it, but it's as you honor him. See, we can't expect to just say, well, I deserve that. No, come tonight and hear my message about how that's a spirit moving through the end time days. We don't give because we deserve. God gave his son for us. He gave the best gift. I give because I love God. And I know that he will take care of me. But see, as I give, when I don't give, I'm saying, Lord, I don't really quite trust you. It's not quite there yet. And I've had to ask myself that question. If you think I stand up here, listen, sometimes the checks that I give are when the enemy is telling me I got nothing. I literally give out of faith because I refuse to let the enemy take a hold on me. Okay? You think, well, that's not faith. It is for me. Because I have, listen, when my body gets all funny, I get up and do something you don't feel like you can do. Because I say, I'm healed of the Lord. You have to do the opposite of what you're feeling. That's where faith comes in. Because we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. So, you know, if something's going on in your life, if your marriage is crumbling, no, by faith, my marriage is restored in Jesus' name. If your family is falling apart, no. By faith, we live in unity in my family in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you are on the scene. You know, if your child is a wayward, thank you, Lord, that you said, if I raise my children up in the way of the Lord, they as they get older, they shall not depart from it. You keep confessing that and believing that and saying that and not be moved by your feelings. So this morning, I'm just saying that there's a harvest for you. There is a harvest for you. Amen. So I'm saying pray and ask the Lord. We have many things happening in New Freedom. We have an outreach and we are believing God for this outreach to be completely taken care of. Amen? So you pray and you ask the Lord what to do. And then there's other things happening. You know, if you sow into what you believe in. Amen? There's people that sow into a lot of hobbies that they believe in. Ha ha! I'm not going to go there. Thank you, Lord. I'm not going to go there. Praise God. Yeah, I'm going to bite my tongue. You can't have anything above God. We talked about idols. We have so many Bible studies and things going on. I can't remember when we talk about what we've talked about. That may have been at the breakfast meeting. I can't remember what we talked about. But we talked about idols, nothing being before God. So just be careful. Amen. Praise God. Whew. You all are just seem so excited. I feel excited. Hallelujah. God loves a what kind of giver? Cheerful. A cheerful giver. Yes. I'm not selling you anything to try to coerce you to give. I'm telling you the promises that God has for you because I want to see you blessed. I'm so tired of seeing people struggle because God is not a God of struggle. That's not who he is. He never came for you to struggle. He came for you to have life and have it more abundantly. But the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So what does he come? To plant seeds of doubt in your mind about finances. It's the biggest area that people get hung up on because they say, oh, the church just wants my money. Don't give then because the Bible says don't give with grudge or out of necessity. God loves a cheerful giver. Amen? But you got to ask the Lord, what can I do? You know, we always want to ask the Lord where, it's not even just about this, where can I serve? What can I do? Because the world says just be about yourself. No, God says be about others. He says to go out. Amen? So we can talk about finances, but it's so much more than that. So who's ready to give this morning?
Amen.
Oh, gosh.
Amen.
Come on. Who's God loves a what kind of giver?
Cheerful.
So who's ready to give?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Who's happy that they can give?
Amen.
And me too. Praise God. I have something to give. The woman with the two mites gave more than all the others. Come on. If you say, well, I don't have much to give. Yes, you do. And if you're here visiting and we're not your home church, don't give our tithe here. Your tithe does not come here. Your tithe goes to your home church. That's where your tithe goes. You can give offerings here. I always say that because it's important that people understand where your tithe goes. So ushers, come on, because these people are ready to give. They might run you over.
Amen.
They're ready to give because God loves a cheer. And there's ways to give online. Thank you, Miss Kelly. Go ahead, ushers. You can serve the people. You can give on Venmo at NFC Give. You can give at newfreedom-church.com/give. You can text. You can mail. Praise God. Technology is a beautiful thing. If you're giving towards the outreach, just mark that part of your giving towards the outreach. Amen. Praise God. All the finances are coming in for every outreach this year. We're going to do the best outreaches we've ever seen. Every need that we have is met in Jesus' name. Every need that you have is met in Jesus' name. And we will have more than enough.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you. Rick, you want to pray over this? Bless
you. Father, we thank you today for this offering. We pray that you would bless it. And Lord, that it would be multiplied and reach the furtherance to your kingdom in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. Well, I'm going to have Pastor David come up. He's ready to. How many of you are ready for Pastor David?
Amen.
Woo! Praise. Well, that got him excited. I'm sitting down.
Get out of my. No.
I know. I'm getting out of your pulpit, brother.
Hallelujah. God is so good. And he's good in many ways. And it reminds me, before I get started and before we pray, that when revelation comes of who God is, it's always good. It's always a betterment, and it's always an increase, and it's always an encouragement. And that's what I'm believing today, is for revelation of God's Word in His Spirit to come alive on the inside of you, for you to see God differently than you've ever seen Him before. And you say, well, I've known God a long time, but God always has a fresh revelation, a fresh word, a new song, a new wine for you to partake of every day. And this morning is no different. If you could bow your heads, Heavenly Father, I thank you that today is an awesome day that you've made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We are in high expectation, Lord God, to receive a divine impartation of your word, a divine revelation of knowledge, an increase of wisdom in understanding of the kingdom of heaven. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Father, I thank you that each and every heart is hungry and open to hear the word of the Lord this morning, Father. And I thank you that you are not slack concerning your promises, but they are going forth and made ready for each and every person here today. In Jesus' name, and if you agree with that prayer, say amen. 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 So as I start this morning, it's going to be a little different. As always, our sermons are always a little different. Our services are always a little different. But there's something as a pastor that many people do not understand. And that is, the role of a pastor is to feed and watch over the flock. So there's times where it's not going to be a rah-rah, joy, ha-ha type of service. It's going to be, this is what you need to prepare for. This is what you need to make ready, because this is what's about to happen. Because that's what prophecy does. Prophecy foretells the future under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to prepare God's people to be ready for what's at hand. And there's nothing more, I can't say it that way, because there's a lot that the Lord wants to do through me and through this church. But one of the main things is He wants you to be prepared for the day and the hour of what's taking place. He wants you to be ready. And as a pastor, I want you to be ready, because I do not want one sheep to be divided. I do not want one sheep to be killed or to be removed or to fall away. So I want to share this prophecy. But before I do, I want to share with you what prophecy really is. And this isn't my message, but this is what the Spirit gave me this morning to share before my message. And in 1 Corinthians 14:3, if you could turn there, we will get into a message, and the Lord does have great things for you. But I have to share this. I have to be obedient to what He's saying. Everybody say obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice, the Bible says. And there's a reason for that. Because if you can act like you're sacrificing, but if you're sacrificing the wrong thing, you're not obeying. And you'll never get what you need to get if you're not obeying the voice of God. And so prophecy here, and I'm going to share a prophecy from Rick Renner, but in 1 Corinthians 14:3, it says here, once I get there, but he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. So prophecy is going to give you edification, exhortation, and comfort. And you say, Pastor, what in the world? Those are big words. What do they mean? Briefly, edification means to build up or to promote growth. It means like an architecture. So when prophecy is given, it will edify you. It will build something in you in preparation for what's going to happen. So that's a portion of prophecy. And I'm sharing this, not that it's exciting to share, but I'm sharing this because when I share this prophecy, these three things are going to take place in your life. You will be edified. You will be exhorted. That word exhortation, or to exhort, means to comfort as well. It means to call near to help or to encourage. The Greek word of exhortation is the same root Greek word for the Holy Spirit, which is paraclete, or paraklesis, which is to comfort, okay? So prophecy will literally comfort you. It will present help now in the moment to deal with what is taking place around us. Who wouldn't want a word of the Lord to give you comfort to deal with the stresses of life and what the future holds? That's what prophecy does. And if we say no to prophecy, or we say that's too spiritual, then we're not preparing ourselves to be comforted by God in reverence and in all of what is taking place. And all of a sudden, boom, you get hit by things and you're like, where does that come from? God uses men and women of God to prophesy, to share with you in preparation for what's coming. Amen. And as we receive that, you're not blindsided. Because many people were blindsided by COVID and what took place in this nation because of COVID. Because prophecy was not given to prepare the people for what's coming. Yeah, there was some that shared that there's storms coming. But when you get detailed prophecy, you will realize what is taking place. You'll see it for what it is, and you will not be duped. There's many churches and many ministries that were blindsided by COVID. We actually grew in COVID. We built a building in COVID. Why? Prophecy. Prophecy. We saw it for what it was. We did not take the bait, and we did not get carried away with false teaching. Amen. This is where it's at. And I, as a pastor, do not want you to ever be pulled away from what the truth of God's word says. When the government says, do not meet, that is not the word of God. The word of God says, come together, meet, and be encouraged together, and be edified together. Amen. Amen. We need each other, and the enemy wants nothing more than to divide us from each other. So this is what prophecy does. It exhorts, it comforts you. The last word is also comfort, and you think, how can you have exhortation and comfort? That word comfort is consolation, which is a comfort received by a person after a loss or a disappointment. So prophecy will literally encourage you and comfort you based off of something that has even already happened. So the Lord will reveal things to you to show you areas that maybe you were hurting, that the Lord will comfort you and reveal to you so it doesn't happen again. So prophecy is a powerful thing, and I don't want to minister on prophecy. I'm not looking to talk about it long, but the important part of prophecy is it shares something that's getting ready to happen. It foretells of the future, but it always gives a remedy. It always gives a way of escape. It always gives a way that God has his people to go in the midst of what's going to happen. So it doesn't matter how bleak or bad the prophecy sounds, it's what we're supposed to obey and do when it comes to pass. And that's what I want you to see here, because the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. So that means when all hell is coming at you, hell can't take you out. The enemy cannot take out the church. So God gives a remedy. He gives a way through prophecy, when it's given, what the people, men and women of God, should be doing. And that's exactly what this does. And I highly regard Rick Renner, and I'm not giving him a big plug, but we as a church at New Freedom support his ministry because we believe in him. We believe in his teachings and what he does. No, we don't worship him or anything like that, but he's a man of God in Russia that pastors a big church, and he's very familiar in the Greek and very sensitive to the Spirit. But here's his prophecy for 2024. I want you to listen to this, and I'm going to stop a partial way through because I want to share with you that the first part is the prophecy. The second part is the remedy. Everybody say remedy. Remedy is the answer to handle the prophecy. Okay? So don't be scared of the prophecy. Understand the remedy and walk in it. Amen. And you'll walk right through the prophecy. Amen? Without any trouble. Watch this. 2024 will be visited with turbulent episodes across the entire globe. So it's not locally. It's worldly, around the globe, especially in the realms of finances and politics and in the nations. These episodes will be a sort that they will potentially cause those who are not rooted in God's word to be deeply disturbed. I'm going to stop right there. That's the prophecy, that there's going to be turbulent times, mainly dealing with politics and finances around the globe, and people that are not rooted and grounded in God's word will be greatly disturbed. So it's not just saying the world's going to be greatly disturbed. Even men and women of God that are not rooted and grounded in the word will be disturbed by what's going to take place. I'm sharing that with you not to scare you, but for you to understand what's the remedy. We need to be rooted in God's word. We need to be rooted and grounded in truth. And here it goes on. But for those, this is you and I, church, this is new freedom. These are people that are rooted and grounded. For those who stay in faith, stay in peace, stay in love, stay in fellowship, and keep sowing seed for the sake of eternity, they will experience a supernatural power that will cause them to be unmoved, unshaken, and well provided for, and to walk in a much needed divine assurance, divine peace, divine power, and divine and supernatural victory. So here it is. Those that stay in faith, in peace, in fellowship, amen, and keep sowing seed towards eternity, not focusing on what's going on around you, but focusing on God, keeping our eyes on God and doing what He's telling us to do, we will have divine protection and divine provision through the whole thing. Amen. That's the promise. It says, yes, those who stay in faith and peace and love in fellowship and keep sowing seed for the sake of eternity will be blessed, empowered, joy-filled, and sustained. And they will miraculously thrive even if the world around them is tossed with a tempest. So there's the remedy. There's the fix. There's where the church must be. And that's nothing new under the sun. And that's what I want to share with you today in John 16:33, as we get into the sermon today, is to realize that Scripture has already talked about this. This isn't something new. It is just seems so real to us because we're actually living in that day and that hour. We're living in a time where it's turbulent times. There's tribulation around us. No, it's not the great tribulation, but it's an onset of it. You hear what I'm saying? It's a beginning of pressures that are taking place, groanings on the earth, nations against nations. These are the times, the end times that we're living in. So what Scripture is saying is literally fulfilling that prophecy that was given for this year. Am I saying this is the last year? No, I'm not saying any of that. Don't put things into places that they aren't. I'm not saying it's the last day this year. But what I am saying is what we're going to experience, it is key to keep our focus on the Lord. Amen. It's key to keep our focus on the Lord. And I know this isn't an exciting message, but if I do not tell you what the Lord is speaking to me concerning our future and what's taking place, I am not doing my job. Hear me. As a shepherd, I am not doing my job. If we just come to church and say, let's just have some fellowship and some fun time together and hope it's all going to be better, and just pray and say, Lord, if it be your will, help us get through this thing. That is not going to get the job done. That doesn't get you rooted and grounded and planted in the things of God where you're going to be stable, and when the storms come, you're going to be able to stand and face adversity. You got to know God's word. And I preached this in Price Community Center, I don't know how many years ago, but it's that Aaron Tippin song, and I always go back to it. You got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. And that's the truth in God's word. You have to stand on the rock of Jesus Christ. And if you do not, you're going to fall. The tempest, the storms are going to come. It will be turbulent. I mean, financial things are going to fall. Businesses you never thought would fall are going to fall. Property you never thought was going to come for sale is going to come for sale. And Jesus, I'm telling you, these types of things are going to happen this year. You can only cover things so long before they totally break and fall to nothing. And that's what's going to happen. But that is why the church and believers, as they are prepared, the wealth of the wicked is going to be transferred over to the just. Why? Because the just are going to be rooted. The Lord is going to show them what they need to do. And we're going to be ready. Amen. Amen. Everybody say ready. Are you ready? Yes. Amen. Then receive the word. Amen. Hallelujah. Receive the prophecy. It's not a doom and gloom prophecy. It's a prepare and get ready to be blessed prophecy. Amen. The church is blessed. We have what we have need of. We have the power of God. We have the Spirit of God. We have the blood of Jesus. We are more than able to conquer the land. The land does not conquer us. The world does not conquer you. You overcome the world because Jesus overcame the world. Amen. When you see prophecy through the eyes of God, He's preparing the church to thrive and to prosper and to overcome. Amen. It's not doom and gloom. Hallelujah. It's not. I don't care what preacher gets up there and says, oh, get ready. It's going to be tough. It'll be tough for people that aren't prepared. If there's famine in the land and I knew there was a famine coming and I had everything I have need of, that famine would not affect me at all. Because I had all that I have need of. You already have everything you have need of, no matter what happens out there. Because it's miraculous, divine, supernatural intervention. So it's not by your hand. It's by your faith. You got to see yourself victorious. Amen. When you see yourself victorious, you're not worried about what's happening around you. You see. When you see heaven, when you know you're going to heaven, you see heaven. It doesn't matter what hell looks like. It doesn't matter what this world looks like. You know where you're going. And it brings a hope and it brings a peace on the inside. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. Stay in peace is the title of the message. John 16:33. That's kind of going to be our foundation. I say kind of. It is going to be our foundation scripture. Because that's part of this prophecy, to stay in peace. So peace is a place you need to be. Peace is a decision you need to make, that I want to be in peace. Who here wants to live in peace? Amen. And the world's doing nothing to help you fulfill that, are they? Absolutely nothing. They try to give you this, they try to promote this, but it cannot give you the peace that God can give you. Nothing can give you the peace that only God can give. John 16:33. This is Jesus speaking. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. Huh? In who? In God. In Christ, you may have peace. You will have peace in me. That is a statement. That is a promise. You can hang your hat on it. You can put your faith on that. In me, you will have peace. Remember that, church, because in the world, you will have tribulation. So there you go. You have a world, a kingdom here that says you will have tribulation. So everybody in the world and of the world will have tribulation. Our flesh is in the world, isn't it? We're going to have some tribulation. That's prophecy. It's going to happen. But those that are in Him will have peace in the midst of the tribulation. Because when you're of God, you're of the promise of God, you're of the kingdom of God, you're of the blessing of God, and God is watching over you. So in the midst of flesh having tribulation, our spirit and our soul can be in perfect peace. Perfect sanctity in God. Just perfect. We can go through each day smiling and at peace on the inside, even though the world is just falling away. See what I'm... In me, you can have peace. You shall have peace in me. But before I get into peace, because I'm breaking the word peace down, and you're going to be pleasantly surprised all the benefits of being in peace. But before I get here, the word tribulation there means pressure that can crush. To squeeze tightly, to make narrow, or conformity. So when tribulation comes, it's a pressure that feels like it has the ability to crush you, like take you out, crush you. That's tribulation. So when the great tribulation comes, it is such a pressure to the point of killing people, killing man. That's what tribulation, that's the pressure that it's talking about. No, we're not in the great tribulation, but if we went around the room, you yourself or you know someone that's going through some pressure, some stresses where it feels like it's crushing them. Financially, maybe. Maybe emotionally. Maybe it's with physical. Maybe it's sickness. Maybe it's something just pressing you. But it's all in the realm of the world. Because for the born-again believer, you don't have tribulation on the inside as a believer. You have peace on the inside as a believer. And that helps you conquer the tribulation on the outside. Amen. That's what this prophecy is about. We cannot ignore the financial and the political junk that's going on. You see it. It's plain as day. The total mishap of finances and the total mishap and talk about politics. It's everywhere. And if you dwell on it, it'll really make you upset. It really will. And when you get upset because you're thinking about it, then it causes tribulation and pressure to come to the point where you get mad about it. Then you get emotionally upset about it. And then you gossip about it and tell everybody else about it. See how this operates. Tribulation starts by thinking on something. And then you start seeing it and viewing it and talking about it. And then you start living in it. Then it starts consuming you. That's what we do not want, church. Do not think upon the things of the world. Think upon the things of God. Be in me and you shall have peace. So you can stay in a place in your life, church, where you're at perfect peace, thinking on the things of God, pursuing the things of God, seeing God every day, knowing Him as Lord and Savior, and you know tribulation is taking place, but it's not consuming you. It's kind of like the burning bush that's burning, but it's not being consumed. That's the believer. You can stand even in this life and not be consumed by the tribulation of the world because you're in perfect peace with God. That is what God gives each and every believer. It's perfect peace. Amen. Where you can stand in the midst of adversity. But if you take on the things of the world and you enter into the realm of the worldly things, it will consume you. And it'll feel like pressure unimaginable that you cannot get out of. Every area that we feel emotionally pressed on every side is because we've allowed ourselves to enter into that place of that pressure. And I think of the pressure of like when they crush cars, you know, just a compactor just pressing down and pressing down. Don't stay in that place. Get out of that place. Get over into the peace of God and let whatever needs to press, and go on with it. Don't stick in that place. Don't stay in that place. So I want to encourage you, in me, you may have peace. You will have peace in God. So if there's a stressful, pressured place, ask ourselves, what do we need to do to get where the peace of God is? Maybe it's turning your TV off. Maybe it's spending time on your phone, listening to things you shouldn't listen to. Those are the things that start applying the pressure in your life. Pressure isn't just in the physical realm. It starts in the soul realm. You start thinking on things. You start making decisions according to the world, and then you start entering into the pressures of the world. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. How in the world can Jesus say, be of good cheer when you're in the midst of tribulation? Faith in Him. When you stay in Him, you can be cheerful in the midst of tribulation. The world cannot see that. They do not understand that because it's only the peace of God that can give it. Amen. Hear me, church. You cannot buy God's peace. You can't even earn God's peace. You can't even look good enough to get God's peace. You can't even come to church enough to get God's peace. You have to be in Him. It doesn't say be in new freedom and have perfect peace. It's be in Him. You must be in Christ. In God is where peace comes from. Nothing man has. Nothing man has can give you the peace that God has. You cannot purchase it. You cannot medicate it. Come on. You cannot medicate peace. It's awful quiet in here, but I'm you cannot medicate. You know what medication gives you? This sense of no feeling, so you just can't understand it and you can't think about it because you're dulled down so much that you can't process it. And that's exactly what they're doing with our kids. And it burns me up. Give them so much medicine, they can't think or process or be a kid. They can't even live. That's not God. It is not God. If you see a fervency on me, yes, it makes me it gives me a holy anger. Because I know that's a lie. And I know in God that child can, God made that child. He can make them operate and function properly without being medicated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I thank God I'm not in a place of that. And if you are, you know somebody is, we're going to believe God to break the power of that thing. Amen. In Jesus' name, I rebuke pharmakeia in Jesus' name. You got to take a stand on these things. But when you know the truth and you're in Him, you're not going to be in that place of tribulation. And you say, well, they were born that way. Well, I know a God of miracles. Amen. I was just listening to a message about abortion by Andrew Womack, and he just hit the nail on the head. He's like, people use all these reasons to get abortions. 99.5% of abortions are due to a personal decision to say, I can't handle this at this time. 0.5 is a medical condition where they say it can't take place. It shouldn't take place. And I listen to that and I think to myself, and he even said, he's like, they've had multiple testimonies where the doctor said they had the child had 21 markers that they would be disabled or something wrong, and the child came out perfectly normal. Exactly. Perfectly normal. That's a child. That's a human being, and they shall be born, every one of them. They have their own DNA and own blood type inside the mother's womb. Why am I getting on this on peace? I don't know, but it needs to be said. It needs to be, we must stand and fight for what's right. Because nobody else is going to do it. The world doesn't understand what they're doing as it is. See how it's going? They don't even know it. The government has no clue what they're doing. They're covering up to cover up to cover up to lie after to lie. And I'm telling you, it's not a Republican or Democrat thing. It's a system. It's a demonic system. Pharmakeia is the same thing. I know many doctors, and I trust a lot of doctors. Good people. They love people and want to see them better. But the system is fouled up. The system is messed up. Our food system is messed up. Everything man touches gets messed up. God, help us. He has. He sent His Son and gave us His Spirit to get us through this muck and this junk that we think, this thing called life. And people are glorying in this. They think the world's the best it's ever been. They think all things are great. They're blind. So tribulation is pressure that can crush. And many people are sensing it even today. It may be trials. It may be frustrations. But for each person, it's a different experience. So what is a tribulation for some person, people, or a stress for someone may not be a stress for someone else, but the Lord can deliver us all. Amen. Say, the Lord can deliver us from all. Amen. Jesus said, in me you will have peace. You will have peace. So, since I'm on a preaching roll here, let me just keep going. What's been said about, well, God gave me this sickness or gave me this disease, or gave me this stress, or trying to show me something, that is totally contrary based off of this scripture right here. This scripture, John 16:33, just blows that right out of the water, along with John 10:10 and many other scriptures. In me you shall have peace. If you've ever had a migraine headache, did it feel peaceful? No. When you had sinus pressure out the wazoo where you felt like your head was getting ready to shoot to the moon, was that peaceful? In me you shall have peace. So God is not going to give you something that is not peace. If you can get peace in God, How in the world will you believe a God that's going to give you something that's unpeaceful when he's the Prince of Peace? Come on. I know I'm sounding funny, but there's thousands, hundreds of thousands of people that believe that God gives them something negative to increase their faith. That is the biggest baloney preaching I've ever heard in my life. It is a false teaching. God is a God of peace. John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Sounds like a headache is steal, killing, and destroying. It puts you down. You can't even open your eyes. You got to lay face down in your bed, turn all the lights out. It's terrible. I've never had a migraine, but my wife has. It's terrible. It's stealing your joy. It's killing the time with your family. That's what those things do. That's what sickness and disease does. But it also says in that scripture, but I have come that they may have life and life more abundant. That's a life where you're healed, whole, walking and leaping and praising God, going where you want to go, doing what you want to do, saying what you need to say, and preaching the gospel all the day long. That's the life God has for you. Amen. But it's a lie of the enemy to say sickness and disease is from God. He gives peace. Hallelujah. Notice this, that a believer can have peace even if we are in turbulent times. Even in the midst when the world is confused, even in the midst of even making a decision that we don't know how to make. And we're like, Lord, I don't know how this is going. This is an impossible situation. Some of you may be in that place right now where you're like, I don't know how to make this, what the Lord wants me to have in this situation. This is a difficult situation. I don't have the answer to it. I don't know which way to go in it. Every one of us deal with that. But there's a God, amen, that has the remedy, that has the answer that you need in that moment. Miraculously, he will share with you exactly what it is that you need to do to bring you right up out of that place and put you on the top. And if you can believe that God loves you that much, it doesn't matter what you're in or where you've been, God can be with you and pull you through that situation and give you perfect peace in the midst of it. Amen. Because he's a God of peace. He is the Prince of Peace. So this word peace is a powerful word. I want to share five things about this word peace that's going to encourage you. Amen. Anybody want to be encouraged today? Amen. We've been talking about tribulation. How encouraging. No, God is a God of peace. And this word has many different meanings. The first one here, if you're taking notes, it is putting away of conflict. So God's peace, when you are in him, that what you place in him puts away conflict. So if there's an area that is full of conflict, when you put God in it, when you put your place, you and God in that place, conflict has to be put away. Conflict has to be put away. So that's an aspect of peace, is a putting away. It doesn't matter what it is or who it's from. Maybe it's political, maybe geographical, maybe financial. Maybe you have bills and that's a conflict that you're dealing with. God will miraculously make a way when there is no way. Miraculous. Why? Because you're in him. And when you're in him, the miraculous takes place. The supernatural can work. And conflict is put away. That's number one. It's Shabrodose. Thank you, Lord. When you are the calming voice in an argument, it settles and puts away the conflict. That's the Lord speaking to you. Just as like my son and I, if we were having a conflict, and I wasn't listening to his wisdom that he has, and we were in conflict, the one that has the calming voice puts away the conflict. Right? And in the natural. When you have the voice of God, it puts away the conflict of any situation you deal with. I don't care if it's natural. I don't care if it's spiritual. I don't care if it's a generational curse that someone's trying to say about you. I'm telling you that the word of God and the peace of God will come on you and that conflict will be pushed right out. Right out the door. Because a calming voice. When you get a word from heaven, it changes everything, doesn't it? Yeah. That's the word of the Lord. Boom. And then all of a sudden you walk in it. You know what you need to do. Yeah. and you handle the situation. Doesn't matter how big the conflict is. There is people that are dealing with million-dollar conflicts. The word of the Lord, boom. Other people deal with smaller conflicts. Doesn't matter the size of the conflict. Doesn't matter if it's spirit, soul, or body. Boom. There could be a murderer that is on death row, and the Lord can come and heal their heart and get them saved right in the midst of it. Doesn't matter the conflict. The peace of God, boom, settles the situation. That's the power of God. And it'll work for you. Amen. It'll work for you. God has given you His peace to put away conflict. Guess how that happens? We don't look at peace. We look at the giver of peace. God has given you Jesus to put away conflict in your life. All sin prior to the day you asked Jesus into your heart was put away and pushed aside when Jesus showed up. That's the power of God. All of darkness that the enemy placed on your life, when Jesus showed up, the enemy flees. Amen. That's conflict has to go. Amen. When Jesus and the peace of God show up. Amen. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, man, at Armageddon in the last days, when Jesus and His army show up, it doesn't matter what man has and say. They can be out there with lasers doing all kinds of fancy things that we don't understand, and all of a sudden God shows up and wipes it all out. Finishes the whole thing. Conflict is done. Jesus showed up. Amen. Amen. The enemy thought he had control of this world. Total control. Jesus showed up. What happened? He stripped them of all His power. 3 days. 3 days He stripped the enemy of generations, thousands of years of power, were stripped in 3 days and three nights in the belly of the earth. That's what the resurrection did. When the Lord resurrects something in your life and resurrects your life, you don't have to worry about tribulation. You don't have to worry about conflict. Bam! Just like that, the Lord can change it. Push it right out of sight. Anything. Examine yourself. Think about it. Make a list at home. These are the things that are troubling me. These are the conflicts I'm having. Say, Lord, You know them. You see them. Thank You, Lord. In You, I have perfect peace. And I'm going to walk right through this. Watch what will happen, because some of the conflicts that we face, they're not even our conflicts. We've jumped into battles that we ought not to be in. And there may be a time the Holy Spirit says, don't even worry about that. It's not your battle. Stop stressing about that. That has nothing to do with you. You are getting into a bee's nest that's nothing to do with you. And we've all done it. We've all done it. I want to encourage you that the peace of God puts away conflict. John 14, 27 says this. This is talking about the Holy Spirit. My peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. John 14, 27. This is right before He ascended, before Pentecost, when He's sharing with the disciples what the work of the Holy Spirit is. Watch this. My peace. Jesus is saying, my peace, the peace from heaven that I have, I leave with you. Guess what? That peace has not left even to this day. The Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you. That's the peace that He left. I leave it here with you. My peace, Jesus says, my peace I give to you. What did Jesus deal with? He dealt with temptation from the enemy. He dealt with sickness and disease. He dealt with unbelief. He dealt with religious people. He dealt with everything that we're tempted with. He was in all points tempted. And the peace that He walked in, He left with us. So everything that we deal with, the peace of God has the power for us to overcome it. In Jesus' name. Think about that. He left what He had to us so we could overcome as well. We're not left orphans. We're not left to try to figure it out for ourselves. Don't try to intellectually figure out everything that's going on in your life, because there's spiritual things you'll never understand. But there's a divine peace from heaven that understands it all. And it's for you. For each and every one of you. Be encouraged. Grab a hold of this peace. That's just the first portion of it. That's just the first portion. Here's another one. This peace has the ability to rebuild and reconstruct, regenerate, and reestablish any loss. Peace on the inside will allow you to build even in the midst of a famine. But if you allow tribulation and the stresses of life to consume you, you don't think you can build in the midst of the struggle. There's going to be the greatest move in the church in these next few years because of this right here. We will be able to prosper and build as a church. I'm not just talking about a church building. I'm talking about ministries. I'm talking about your family. I'm talking about your finances. I'm talking about your whole life. We'll prosper and build even in the midst of a famine and in the midst of tribulation, because that's what the peace of God does. When you stay in peace, you keep moving forward. You don't stop. You don't base your giving off of the financial system. You base it off of the word of the Lord. God says, I sow, I'm sowing. God says, tithe, I'm tithe. God says, give offering, I'm giving offering. Why? Because that's where God is, and that's what he told me to do. I don't base my giving off of what the world's doing. Amen. Amen. And I've thought about the. Here's another area. I've thought about this. I'm going to get rid of my truck and buy a cheap little car that saves gas because gas prices are going up. How poverty mentality is that? And I did it. I did that. No, I want a truck. That's my heart's desire. I'm getting a truck. And it burns more gas. So what? God's going to provide for me and get me a truck. You see what I'm saying? But we base our decisions based on what's going on around us, and we limit ourselves from the blessing of God and the will of God for our lives because we're basing it off of what we see instead of what he says. Amen. Amen. This will change your life. It'll cause you to see what the life God has for you instead of letting the world tell you what your life's going to be. I'm done listening to what they're telling me what I'm going to be, how I'm going to wear a mask, what I'm going to shoot in my body, how they're going to raise my kids. No. No. Because the word of God says, raise your kids in the things of the Lord. I'm trying to quote the scripture. And they shall not depart from you. Amen. Raise a child up in the way they shall go, and they shall not depart. The way they should go, I'm the one that's in charge of raising my kids. Not the government. They're not supposed to tell me what I can tell my kids. No, I raise my kids based off of the word of God. I know people get mad at me. Oh, you sound, do what you want. I love my kids, and they're doing just fine. The Lord is using them, and they hear the voice of God for themselves. Why? Because I train them to hear the voice of God. I'm telling you, their first grade teacher did not train them to use the voice. Well, she was the first grade teacher. But my daughter in public school was not taught to hear the voice of God. They were taught there wasn't a God. Come on. And you see why things happen the way they are? Because the church wants to cave, and believers want to cave to the system and the tribulation that it causes. Take a stand and fight back and say, no, this is my life. This is the life God gave me. I'm not letting anybody besides God tell me how to do what I need to do. Now, God will use godly people to speak into my life, and I'll listen to that. But I'm not going to go out there and listen to somebody, some intellectual that thinks they know more about God and what he ordained. Amen. And tell me how I should do what I need to do. Just because you got letters behind your name doesn't mean anything to me. I want to see the fruit about what you're doing. Amen. I know this is sharp, but we need to hear it. We need to be honest with ourselves. Because if we're not honest with ourselves, and then we get beat up and we're like, how'd that happen? Because we didn't speak the truth. We didn't adhere to God's word. In me you will have peace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We can settle a lot of battles just staying in his presence. Because you want me to be really honest with you? The battles we face, if we are in Christ, the only battles we face are persecution. Battles in the spirit realm. The physical battles, the Lord handles those. God shall supply what? All of my needs. What does that mean? That means I'm not worried about my needs. God supplies them. Amen. I'm focused on the one that supplies them. Amen. I'm not trying other ways to supply my needs. I'm just following the one that supplies it. Amen. So you can see here, when you stay in God, you're worried, you're focused on him. You want to fulfill what he's telling you to do. And you're not going to listen to this out here telling you how you should do and do. Because what it does, it pulls you right in the ditch. Yeah. It'll pull you right in. There's nothing more frustrating than I'm in the peace of God. I'm fellowshipping with God. Then I turn the news on. And it's like, oh my God. And I put my phone right back down. I was like, that is a wrong way to go. I do not need to hear that, because instantly I feel the peace of God leave. I'm in the presence of God. And then all of a sudden I hear something. And it's like, that's contrary to what the peace of God that's on the inside of me. And if I choose to keep listening to that, all of a sudden I'm going sideways. Anyway, not you guys. You guys are good. I'm just sharing my own thing. That was a joke, but not funny. Okay. So God will cause you to build and construct when things around you are being destroyed. Literally, you will be able to build and thrive, just like Isaac. It was just shared this morning. Just like he sowed in famine. Nobody else wanted to sow. They were hoarding. Isaac was releasing. Why in the world? That's the dumbest thing in man's eyes, is to sow in a famine. That's like sowing in a desert or sowing when it's a drought. That sounds stupid. That's dumb. I was a farmer. Amen. That's dumb. You do not spend a $300 bag of seed and start trying to put it in hard ground like this concrete. That does not make sense. But that's not how God operates. God says, sow in famine, and you will see a supernatural increase. God made the ground. He can literally make it produce for you when it won't produce for anybody else. Why? Because you're in the will of God. Amen. People in the will of God, blessing follows them. Blessing literally chases after those that are in the will of God. It will bypass people out of the will of God to come and double and pile up 100-fold on you. That's good news. Amen. Some people will be like, I don't believe that. Well, you cannot believe it, and you will never see it. Amen. Or oh me. Okay. Here's this. Isaac. Isaiah 26:3. This is a key verse that may be where I stop. This may be a two-part sermon. Isaiah 26:3. If you want to figure out the answer to this walking in peace, I'm going to give you the key aspect of it. Everybody say key. The key is a realm of authority. When you understand the key of something and you have the key to something, you can unlock it, right? If you want to unlock the peace of God in your life, this scripture is going to give you the key to do that. Hallelujah. Ready for this? You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. So, there is perfect peace available to every one of us. And everybody out there. All humanity has the ability to walk in perfect peace. You say, how can you do that in a time of tribulation? How can you do that when all the stresses of life? It's not the physical, it's the spiritual. It's your mind. You have to get your soul realm in order and keep your thoughts in line, and that's what's going to keep you in perfect peace. The key to perfect peace is keeping your mind stayed on God. That's it. If you get anything out of today, your mind has to stay on the things of God. It has to be in God's will. You have to keep your eyes on God. That's how you stay in peace. It's not about trying to gather something up in the physical. It's not about what you see out there or what you don't see out there. It's getting your mind focused on God and what His will says. When you have God's Word on the forefront of your mouth and meditate on it day and night, you'll walk in peace all the days of your life. And you know, people will get upset for me saying this, but when you get your eyes off of it, That's when the stresses of life come. That's when the pressure comes. The pressure's there. It's kind of like driving down a road in Cambridge, and it's marsh everywhere. But if you stay on the road, you're in good shape. But if you get off the road, you got a problem on your hands. And if you don't live in Cambridge or don't know, just swamp, Louisiana. All right? Stay on the road, stay on the path, no problem at all. But you can get two wheels off on the side and it doesn't take long to get a problem going on, right? That's how it is spiritually as well. Keep your mind fixed on Him, no problem. No problem. But if you take your eyes off the road, it doesn't take long. And my wife makes fun of me, but it's okay. I'll drive down the road. I'll be looking at fields. Because once you're a farmer, you're kind of always a farmer. You know, and you're driving. Man, that field looks good. Whatever way you look, that's the way you turn. So this field over here. And all of a sudden, I'm over the yellow line looking at this field. And she's like, what are you doing? I'm driving. So I respect her. I get let her drive. And then I can just take all the time and look at the field. All right? But wherever I put my eyes, that's what I'm focused on. That's what I'm thinking about. And that's where I'm headed, right to the field when I'm supposed to be driving straight. But look at this field. You gravitate to what you're looking at. That same thing spiritually. What you focus on is where you're going. So when you have vision of heaven, you're headed to heaven. You don't care about hell. Hell's back there. I'm going to heaven. Amen. And you get to the point where you're looking at it. You desire everything about heaven, and you desire everybody else to come with you. And that gives you a heart for the lost. Amen. To focus on things that are important to God, not to you. And that there's peace in that. There's no greater peace than sharing the love of Jesus with somebody. It brings great, great joy to you. It brings joy to them. All of heaven rejoices, and all of hell gets mad. That's an awesome thing to do. There's nothing I like doing more than make the enemy mad. Amen. Just right on his head, another soul enters the kingdom of heaven. Hey, it's a wonderful thing. But you keep your eyes on God, and you're in perfect peace. Write this scripture down, Isaiah 26:3. You will keep him, God will keep you in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. That word mind there is actually translated imagination. Whose imagination. So really, when your mind enters into the spiritual realm in God, amen, there's perfect peace there. Your mind is stayed on the spiritual realm. Your mind is stayed in the supernatural. Like you are literally thinking about the kingdom of God all the time. That's what it's talking about. You're imagining yourself walking on the streets of gold. You're imagining yourself walking in divine healing. You're imagining yourself wealthy, taken care of, bills paid. You see yourself walking in that way, and you don't allow the natural things around you to affect you. Because your mind, your imagination, your thinking, your vision is all in one direction towards God. I know I'm giving you a lot of that, but I'm trying to point you in the right direction. Amen. Toward God, you can walk in perfect peace. Another definition of that is this is where they get frame of mind. Have you ever heard frame of mind? This word right here that says mind talks about a framing of your mind. So you frame your mind towards God. Amen. Whenever you frame something, that means it puts something, and I think of cement when I think of framing. You do a cement frame, and it's like 2x6 or 2x4, and you stake it, and you measure it, and that cement stays right in that area. Yeah. Amen. It stays right where it needs to stay. But if you don't do it right, your cement goes all over the place, and you have a mess. Well, when your mind goes all over the place, guess what you got? A mess. A mess. And you waste money because your cement just keeps going places it shouldn't be going. And at $200 or whatever it costs a yard of concrete, it gets expensive. And then you got to clean up your mess. Let me just share a little story with you. I want you to understand that pastors aren't perfect, so I like to share some of my stories a little bit. When I moved back from Pennsylvania to start the church in Maryland, back to our house, our front porch settled inward because they didn't put enough dirt underneath our front porch. It dropped 4 inches. So when it rained, water went into our foundation. Problem. Yeah? Everybody, problem. Everybody's got problems. So I'm like, this is a problem. So we jack up the front porch, take all the fencing down, and I jackhammer all my concrete out of my front porch. And remove it out of the way, get like half a truck of dirt fit in the spot that was supposed to be filled with dirt, rented a tamper, tamped it down, re-poured the concrete, reframed it, and now it's good. But I thought to myself, I just removed $1,500 worth of concrete, broke it up to put it in a washout somewhere and on the ground, and bought another $1,500 to fill the mess up that took place. And I think to myself, That was bad preparation, led to a lot of expense, time, and emotional heartache. So what I'm getting at here is I want you to understand, if you frame and you build it on God, you don't have to go back and try to fix it later. It's built right. It's framed the way it needs to. And you don't waste time. You don't waste time doing piddly things like repouring your front porch. Maybe none of you have dealt with things like that, but I live in a life that isn't always friendly all the time. And you got to be able to deal with it, see it for what it is, fix it, and then put your eyes on God. Because it was only God. I knew God called us, and if he didn't call us back to our house may still be looking like that. Because the people that were renting it didn't say anything. I wasn't living here. I didn't know. But when you put your eyes on it and you see it, you know what needs to be changed. Some of you need to put some eyes on some areas that you don't want to put on that area, and you need to get it refocused and recharged and changed the way it needs to be. So you stop messing with the area that can be fixed. Amen. Frame it up right. Pour the concrete. It'll last a long time. Amen. Put the quality in it to begin with, and it'll last a long time. I learned that lesson as well. You buy cheap, you get cheap, you work with cheap, and it's just cheap all the way around. Buy cheap tools, bust your hands, break the tool, have to go, and you buy another cheap one, you do the same thing over again. You get what you pay for. Amen. When you lay your life down, you give it all to God. Amen. And you get a quality of life second to none. Nothing compares to a life fulfilled in God. Nothing compares to a quality of life found in God. That's the peace you have. You can live your life in perfect peace knowing that you have a quality of the kingdom of heaven living on the inside of you, and you'll go from here to heaven, not even skip a beat. Hallelujah. You're not getting a hold of it. If you get a hold of this, it'll make you run. You say, I'm not going to say any names. I'm taking my cheap tools back and I'm buying good tools. Amen. We're not going to bash anybody's tools or anything like that, or any country that makes them. Amen. But there's not, same thing with religion. People take religion and they form their life off of a religion, and it's faulty.
Come on.
It's faulty. Or they buy a half-truth, they believe a lie, and they form their life off of that lie. Kind of like the woman that she cut two sides of the ham off and put it in the oven. Why do you do that? Well, my mom did it. Well, why did you do that, Mom? Because my pot wasn't big enough. She was losing ham because she saw what her mom did. Buy a bigger pot. You don't have to cut the ends off. You understand? We laugh about that, but we do things like that unbeknownst to God. We never ask the Lord how to do it. We just do it because somebody else did it. Man, if I was a pastor and I ran a church like the pastor down the street and only did what they did, we're doing that. We'll be a sister church. We're not doing anything different. We're not even fulfilling the call of God on our lives because we're doing exactly what somebody else is doing. Don't follow others. Follow God.
Amen.
Don't follow the pastor. Follow God. Amen. Because it'll give you a quality of life that will last forever.
Amen.
It'll give you eternal life. Hallelujah. So, you will keep him in perfect peace. See, nobody would even say, what really is perfect peace? That's perfect harmony with God.
Yeah.
Perfect harmony, hearing the voice of God, feeling his presence all the day long. That's perfect peace.
Yeah.
Where you don't get rattled by things. You don't let what people say. You don't let lies. You don't let what you see in the natural affect who you are. You are found in God, you're a child of God, and there's nothing around you that's going to sway you from that.
Amen.
That's perfect peace.
Yeah.
But you have to put your mind stayed on him.
Yeah.
That word stay there is important too. That means to take hold or lean in on. So whoever's frame of mind takes hold of Jesus will walk in perfect peace. So if you frame your life, frame your mindsets all around Christ in his word, you'll walk in perfect peace.
Amen.
You'll walk in perfect peace. And you'll grow, and you'll develop, and you'll be everything God has for you. And tribulation will not have a place in your life. Not saying it won't be around you. Because storms come. Even Jesus on the boat. The disciples, oh, we're going to die, we're going to die. Everything's horrible, waves are coming in, the ship's going down. What did Jesus do? He got up, went out, rebuked the storm, and laid back down. Peace be still. He spoke to the storm. He spoke to the storm because he knew his dad was not done with him yet. Amen. That was not God's will for Jesus to sink on a boat and die. He knew that. He knew that. He was in perfect peace with God. He knew he had to go to the cross. He knew he had to pay the price for all sin and all mankind. He knew that. So this was not the lot. I don't believe God wants to take people out early. Long life. Thou you shall have. Amen. Huh. Different sermon, different time. But I'm telling you, we believe these things, but don't believe the lie. You shall live long and prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So the prosperity of life, the blessing of life, comes with a soul, a mindset on God. That is your key. If you get anything out of the day, keep your mind fixed on God. Amen. Keep the Word of God number one in your life. Amen. And peace will flow. Answer. You'll get answers to every question you have. Every struggle that comes your way, you'll get a download from heaven. That's what I need to do. That's the key. God is my answer. God is my source. God is my everything. Amen. Do you want more? Sure you do. Here it is. Peace also means distractions are removed and orders triumph over chaos. So when you have God's perfect peace, when you walk in His peace, in His divine will, distractions don't distract you. Others will be distracted. You'll get swayed different ways. But God's peace and God's will, you won't be distracted by things. Little things will not distract you. Chaos that people have, that will not be your chaos. Don't join the chaos club. Don't jump in somebody else's chaos. When people told my wife and I that, oh, you know, your first year, you know, that's your honeymoon stage. No, I don't agree with that lie. We're going to have a honeymoon every day. And we're 21 years now. Amen. Not saying there wasn't some tribulation opportunity, but we didn't succumb to it. We didn't say, this is our lot. We're going down in 10 years. It's it. I'm through with this thing. No. You put your eyes on God. And every single time, if there was a disagreement, we had to get back and repent and get back right with God. And there the storm left. Amen. Was it anything? God didn't cause it. Other people didn't cause it. Oh, well, my mom and dad were this way, so we're doomed for failure. Shut up. No. We're going to succeed. My parents are great. Her parents are great. That was a joke. That's... I don't want you, I take the Bible literally, but just work with me when some of the things I say, they're not literal, okay? All right, so distractions, I'm going to get back to this. Distractions are removed. Amen. It's same thing with children. Oh, wait till they get 2 years old. Terrible twos. No, shut up. Don't tell me. I don't want that junk. I'm not receiving terrible twos. Oh, your daughter, oh, when she turns 16, oh, they're nice. The girls are good when they're little, but when they get older, they get sassy. You better watch. No. No. You see what I'm... This is speaking to people because all of us have heard this. And some of us have received it. Amen. And there's been opportunity to receive it. But you don't succumb to it. You keep your eyes fixed on God. Hallelujah. Let me just finish these last two points briefly. The fourth one, this is all about peace, what this peace in God can do. Peace gives you the ability to conduct oneself in a calm and stable manner. Amen. When the peace of God is on you, you can hear something, but you don't allow it and allow yourself to respond in the same flow that it comes at you. So when someone's like, you're stupid and you're ugly, I don't say, well, you're stupid and you're ugly too. No, the peace of God says, I'm sorry you feel that way. I'll pray for you. That's how peace works. That's a funny story. But that's how peace works. You don't allow the negative to come on you and you reproduce negative. The peace of God filters the negative and allows you to walk in the goodness of God in positive. You understand what I'm saying? Just because a negative comes at you as a child of God does not give you the right to respond negative. Love your enemies. Your enemy can get mad at you. Hey, forgive them. Amen. Love on them. Amen. That's what the peace of God does. If you cannot respond in love back, there's an area that you need to talk to the Lord about there. There's something you may need to release there, okay? Unforgiveness, offense, resentment, something like that. Your coworker bashes you every day. Just love on them. Heap coals on their head, the Bible says, by loving them so much. Say, God has a wonderful plan for you. Don't say, well, anyway, I'm not going to tell you anything negative to tell anybody. All right, last point. Just remember, in me you shall have peace. In me. So if there's a struggle in an area, you need to find out, you need to give that area to God and help him, have him show you. Last point. This peace means shalom, which is wholeness, completeness, tranquility in your soul. So, when the peace of God comes upon you and you receive his peace and walk in his peace, shalom, or completeness, wholeness, tranquility comes upon your life. You say, I don't believe you can have that. Yes, you can. In him, you can have all things that pertain to life and godliness. Everything you have need of is found in him. There is no reason why men and women of God cannot walk in perfect peace. It's because we haven't surrendered something or we're ignorant to the fact that we can have it. Okay? And that's why I minister this so you can realize that it's yours. You can walk in perfect peace. Have I perfected it? No. But I'm not Jesus either. Okay? And neither are you. So we're working these things out. We're working our salvation out. We're being sanctified more and more. And this is what's going to help you handle things in life that are coming this year, financially and politically, in all these other areas that the enemy's just throwing our way, is God's peace. God's peace is the answer that's going to help us through these things. You shall have perfect peace whose minds are fixed on me. Colossians 2, 9 and 10. Colossians chapter 2, 9 and 10. I want to share this with you because it's going to cement this truth in your life. Colossians 2, 9 and 10. It says, "For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power." That word complete is fully furnished. So in him, you're fully furnished to handle every aspect in life that comes your way. Every storm that comes your way, everything that makes you uncomfortable that comes your way, every lie that comes your way. You are complete in him, fully furnished to handle the situation. So don't go another day being tossed by what the world's saying. Don't allow it to push you around. Don't allow it to move you or weaken your faith or shipwreck your faith. No, you stand. You stand and you fight back. You put up the shield of faith and you say, "Nope, that's not for me. I'm standing where I need to stand." Amen? Amen. That is why the end of John 16:33 says, "Be of good cheer." You can be of good cheer in the midst of tribulation because you have God's peace on the inside of you. Hallelujah. You don't have to live a day being pushed around. You can be joyful every day of your life. And there's people that sit at church like this, just mad as all get out. And I think to myself, where is the joy? Where's the peace at? They're so worried about their sports team that traded somebody or something like that. Or they're worried about next week's job, what's going to happen at the job next, or their stocks that just crumbled, and they're just frustrated as anything, but they're living in that place of their flesh and worry and fear and all those things, and their mind is not fixed on God. You can see it on people's face. You can see the joy on people's face. Amen. Amen. I know I preach hard sometimes, but there's joy. I got joy in my preaching. I love to preach. And I'm not coming across in a way that is mad. I'm coming across in a way of love. I love you so much, I'm going to share with you the truth. Amen. You can live in perfect peace. Don't buy the lie that you can't. Hallelujah. I have much more to share, but I feel now is the time to stand to your feet. Stand to your feet as we close out. I want you to lift your hands to heaven. And as I pray, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you, and this is going to rest in your spirit. Hallelujah. Even those listening online, if you can stand, stand. If you can't, sit and lift your hands. Amen. Do what you can do to receive. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to believe God. His help is available. He's our ever-present help in time of need. And Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for this time here, Lord God. I thank you that you've made perfect peace available to me. From this day forward, I will seek peace and I'll pursue it. I'll seek peace and pursue it all the days of my life. Heavenly Father, right now, conflict is being removed. Hallelujah. Strife is ending in my life. In Jesus' name, I thank you for that. Grab what's yours, church. Distractions are being removed in Jesus' mighty name by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Stability is coming into my life. I see myself building things, standing in places I never thought I'd stand because I was moved by distractions and the cares of this world. But the Lord is healing me in those areas right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, you're initiating prosperity and blessing upon your people even now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for an impartation of the Holy Ghost and power upon each and every person. Glory to God. You're bringing order in the midst of chaos. Ha! Yes, order. You're bringing joy and peace, flooding the souls of each and every person all around the world listening right now. Oh God, you are not slack concerning your promises. You said that we can have perfect peace whose minds are fixed on you, Lord. And we fix our minds on you. We open up our hearts to receive all that you have for us, Lord. Even right now, Father. Those that are feeling bad, those that are sick, those that have disease, not anymore in Jesus' name. I rebuke sickness and disease. Allow God's peace to flood your soul. You are the healed of the Lord. And the Bible says, let the healed of the Lord say so. Hallelujah. I'm healed in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Glory to God. The presence of God is here. As you receive all that He has for you, walk in the peace that He has for you. Do not be distracted another day. Do not accept the lies another day. Do not allow the chaos to enter in. From this day forward, Father, I thank you that your people walk in peace. As we submit to God and resist the enemy, he flees in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh God, that joy would flood each and every soul. In the mighty name of Jesus, baptize everyone. Enjoy, Lord, right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have the victory, church. You are victorious. You are an overcomer in Jesus' name. The enemy no longer has a hold on you. Chaos and tribulation, the stress and the pressing of this world has no longer has a hold on you. In Jesus' name, you are free. Him who the Son sets free is free indeed. Hallelujah. Walk in your freedom, church. Walk in the life God has for you, church. Hallelujah, you're victorious. In Jesus' mighty name. Say this after me. I am free. I am victorious. I am healed. I am full of joy. I am an overcomer. Hallelujah. Amen. If you believe it, give the Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, if you need prayer, you can come forward. Bless you online. We love you. Have a great day. We'll see you back tonight. But if you need prayer, please come forward. I'd love to pray with you. God bless you, and we'll see you tonight.